Well, you've got a couple options now with our phone calls with Daniel Lewis Crumpton. You can talk about Noah's Ark or cannabis. Your choice when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, back with Daniel Lewis Crumpton as we talk about cannabis or Noah's Ark. Your choice, of course. And back to CannaSense, the total wellness program. Daniel, do you accept everybody, or do they have to go through a screening process?
No, as long as they have a lawful medical recommendation from their state or from the state of California, they can upload their documentation and join the collective free of cost.
Well, that's not bad. How many members?
We are in the thousands now. We have members and patients in all 50 states. It's a phenomenon.
Super. Now, let me give you a Noah's Ark question. In terms of the flood, it's said in the Bible 40 days and 40 nights. If we got hit by an asteroid, what would cause that for 40 days or 40 nights? So there must have been a lot of rain involved in this, too. What do you think?
You know, whenever I wrote the book, I was following the theory that there was a water canopy around the Earth, and that that would compensate for the amount of water that allegedly the book of Genesis says came down. So I think if we were to look back at it, that's probably a very feasible. I do think that the human lifespan was much longer than it is now. And that would precipitate a water canopy.
Interesting. Would you love to have been around then?
It would have been something, George.
Just to witness it, not to get stuck in the deluge.
That's one of the reasons I wrote the book is I said, what would it have been like? When I read these Greek and Roman mythologies of satyrs and minotaurs and the Nephilim, the giants, the Aluka, the origins of vampires. What would it have looked like? And that was really what made me dive into the book, is I wanted to explore that and share it with others.
Do you miss being a minister?
In a way, I still am. In a way, I still
am. In a different way?
In a different way. My beliefs have evolved, as I think all beliefs should. But there should always be a basis, I suppose, of the way that you interact with the world of, I think you should do like one of my favorite hymns, and it's row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is just a dream. And I think we would all benefit from living life that way.
We all learned that one when we were kids.
Yeah.
Didn't we?
I think there's a reason for it. It's true. We evolve, what we're learning is that our thoughts, especially now, are creating our reality in such a profound way. And we can really get a hold of it. And when we do, we have to realize that you can either make this a living hell or something better, you know?
All right, let's go to the phones for you. They're lining up here. Let's go to Stephen in New Mexico to get things started. Hey, Stephen, go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Good evening, George.
Hi, Steve.
And to your guests, I just wanted to share my story as far as the PTSD going a little further than, just one category. I feel bad. I don't want to take anything from our soldiers, that
I understand.
Are given that diagnosis, because I believe they deserve as much as they can get. But my doctor died. My house burnt down a few months ago, and it tore me up because I had so many memories and, like little trinkets that my grandfather carried in the war and stuff like that, and some Confederate money. And I wasn't having flashbacks of the actual house burning. I've been a firefighter before, so I've been in fires. That didn't do it. But now it's like even I can see a tree on the side of the road, and it'll bring back a memory of being a kid, and my memories are just they're all coming back vividly, and I don't know if my body's trying to heal or exactly what's going on, but I want people to know that that there are other forms of PTSD, I believe, because people suffer from such a dramatic thing that their body, I believe your body goes into like a healing mode and tries to savor as many things that you lost to bring peace. But and also the medical cannabis program has helped me here in New Mexico. And it helps me a lot. I'm always going to dark places, like, and you and your guests probably know what I'm talking about as far as the dark places. And that, you know, it kind of helps me get out of the shadows.
Pulls you out of it, and, sure.
Yeah, and you know, I want to check out his program. I do have a question for him.
All right.
I'd like to ask, I have a card that just expired. My money's real low right now because of everything. And I'm waiting to get money, but to get it reinstated, you had, I believe you had said something about a shipping process or something. Do you guys do that? Because it's even hard for me to get to town to get it, and with it being so expensive, you know, I got to go a town over. And
what is the program in New Mexico?
Sir, I don't, it's just, they give me a card with a chip, and it, as far as the program, I'm not exactly sure. I've seen a doctor. Like the process was, is they referred me to a cannabis doctor that comes into the state every so often, and I seen her, and she took my medical records. It wasn't for the PTSD. It was, I have degenerative disc disease, and I have quite a few other things that fall under the program.
Now, what do you do if you just lack funds, Daniel? How do you help people?
What we do is we have an indigent care program. You submit a ticket. And let us know what your financial situation is. We'll give you some documents for you to fill out, and then, you know, we will do what we can to get the medicine to you.
All right, Stephen, get to the website and fill that out. What category at the website do you find that?
Stephen, if I were you, I would call 1-833-633-4208.
Write that down again. One more time, Daniel. I'm going to write that down because we'll give it out a little later. Go ahead.
1-833-633-4208.
Is that a toll-free?
That's toll-free.
1-833? Boy, never heard of that before.
Right?
I guess they have all kinds of, huh?
So call that number in the morning or submit a support ticket and let us know what your situation is, and we'll review it. But basically what we would do is we would you know, like here in Georgia, we have a very strange medical card system. And I know in other states they do too. It's very expensive. So with the reciprocity clause in the Constitution, the easiest route is for everyone who's coming into the collective to become California patients, which a sponsor will walk you through. So
okay.
That would be
very easy. You don't have to live there.
Yeah, you don't have to live there. Reciprocity says that you have the full faith and credit of every other state's judicial proceedings and hearings.
I'll be giving out this number again a couple times this hour, folks, so make sure you have a little pen and paper handy and you can just jot it down. Let's go to Mary in New Jersey. Welcome to the show. Hi, Mary.
Hello, everybody. Hi. Hey. I'm going to talk about Novasar.
Sure.
I'm a child, but this is the way I was told. I'll just say this person. He either had a rocket ship or a spaceship, and he picked up Enoch. And he told Noah to build a ship because he was going into outer space. They were going to explore, and he'll be going like over 100 years. And he says, I'm going to run out of fuel. And what they did was they stacked up explosives on Mars. And when they came back, they took those to the moon. And he blew up a section of the moon. He left Enoch up there to make sure everything went smoothly.
How do you know this stuff, Mary? Where'd you get this story?
He came down on the water. And he must have got there ahead of the water somehow, because it says the presence of God was there and sealed those people in the ark. And that's the way I was told it. So now my question is, if there was a lot of water on the moon at one time, would that have changed the temperature of the moon?
I'm sure it would, probably pretty dramatically.
So I know it says in the Bible, like, underneath everything broke up also on the earth, not only the rain.
Well, that could be. Interesting take there.
That was a story. Yeah, I'm remembering it because I'm listening to the radio and I hear all these. I never gave it a thought. But when I listen to the radio, it's bringing all this back.
Good concept indeed. Daniel, interesting, huh?
I think so. I mean, like I said earlier, something happened. Something happened, or it wouldn't hold our fascination the way that it does. and it wouldn't be so deeply rooted into all of our cultures. Something happened. Maybe one day we'll be privy to all the details of exactly what happened. But I think that when you do look at the moon and take perhaps Kent Hovind's theorem into consideration, you go, oh my God, all those craters were caused within 30 minutes. You know, what does that speak to? You know, it's something big. And I think that it's inside of us. I mean, we want to know. It's a fascinating story.
Let's go to Douglas East in New Jersey. Hey, Douglas, go ahead.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, Douglas.
Thank you for getting me on the air. Our state has gone ahead and we had legalized medical marijuana a couple of years back. There's our governor now is trying to go ahead and push it through. It hasn't gone through yet for recreational marijuana. What they're doing is it was supposed to be on last year's bill, but when the government shut down for a while, it was pressed for time, so it didn't get a chance to be heard. They're bringing it back up this year, and they're going to go ahead and try for it. I'm not sure exactly how many states there are with legalized recreational marijuana, but as speaking for what you were saying earlier, regardless of if you do have a medical marijuana card and legal a physician to go ahead and authorize it for you, depending on where you're going, you can't go from one state where it's legal and take your marijuana on a plane with you, even if you have a card, to another state where it's illegal.
Or it's illegal, right. You're right about that. That's almost like a concealed weapons permit, same thing.
Right, but if you do have the card and the state you're going to has legalized medical marijuana, they will honor your card there, so while you're in the state, you can get your medicine there.
So you can bring it on a plane if you're going from state to state that has approved it?
No, not unless the state you're leaving and the state you're
arriving. No, they both have to have it.
States that have it already legalized.
But if they both have it legalized, you can take it on a plane. That's my
Correct.
Question. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Douglas. Appreciate that. It's a good pointer there, Daniel.
Yeah. I mean, George, I've never flown.
But you're kidding me. Really?
No. I've only recently, I just went coast to coast, actually.
Well, you're on coast to coast right now. How come you haven't flown? I mean, are you afraid of flying?
No, I've just lived a very hermited life.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, to each his own. That's for I live on a plane. I mean, I'm on a plane 3-4 times a month, going everywhere, doing what I have to do. I mean, I have to have a plane, or I could never get to where I'm going.
You know, I intend to. I mean, I recently, which is very, very funny, because Canisense did send me out west to do a promotional tour. And for the first time, I saw my country. You know, I drove up through Oregon and then came down California and then crossed through Texas back to Georgia. And, oh, my goodness. You know, I was thinking about the interview with you because I was like coast to coast.
That's
you know?
Right.
And
made it.
I saw it for the first time. And you know what, George? It's a beautiful country.
It sure is.
It's filled with
beauty. It's the best on the planet.
It has to be. And I didn't meet maybe one cross person the entire time.
Well, now you know why, Daniel, everybody wants to come to this country, because it's the best.
There's something in the ground. I don't know what it is. I mean, out in the Mojave Desert was, I went to Meteor Crater, George, and that was a very spiritual experience for me.
I bet.
I looked at it and I was like, this is us. This is a story about something hit this earth thousands of years ago that caused great trauma. You know, and now there's a big mark, but the actual thing is not there. It disintegrated upon impact, you know?
Let's go to Margaret in Tacoma, Washington. Hi, Margaret. Welcome to the show.
Hello, George.
Hey.
Now, with the Noah thing, there is a flood story in most cultures all around the world. So I was just wondering, is it possible that the flood happened before Pangaea broke up? And could the flood have been what caused Pangaea to break up?
I'm not sure we had humans around then, though, did we?
I don't know.
The continental divide, which is what you're talking about, happened millions and millions, if not billions of years ago. When do you think the flood occurred, Daniel?
I would say it's 10,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Past 6,000. Pangaea never really flew with me. I mean, it's the continents aren't lily pads. You know, if you look underneath the ocean, you know, it's all connected. So Pangaea.
They did divide in the early stages of the planet because they fit like a puzzle if you put them back together, but
yeah.
not 10,000 years ago.
No, I mean, if you were to look at the biblical account, it says that there were no mountains and there were no oceans. There were only seas. So there was like a supercontinent. I think the flood probably did, you know, that's what changed the topography. But Pangaea never made sense to me. I don't believe that the continents drifted away from each other. But that's my opinion.
Let's go to Rock Hill, South Carolina, to Barry, my good old buddy, my pal. Hi, Barry.
George, I just love it, buddy. And I've got a great story for you and Dan. I was just telling Tommy, my doctor has got me on medical marijuana, George. Not even legal in South Carolina.
For what illness or what ailment?
Well, you remember I fell and it injured my back.
I remember that caused you to miss coming to one of our shows.
As a matter of fact, that's where my doctor started me on oxycodone.
Oh, you don't want that.
Oh, listen, he had me all the way up to 45 milligrams a day.
Oh,
George.
God.
Oh, listen, whatever hit the fan, the FDA told him if he didn't take everybody that he had on oxycodone off of it, that they were going to take his medical license. And he told me the whole story, and he said, Barry, I hate this because you're addicted to it, but he said you need it for the pain, and he said you need some medical marijuana. And I said, if you're going to take me off the oxycodone, I need something to keep from killing myself.
And is it working for you?
Well, yes, I use the THC concentrated marijuana oil in the vaporizer. It's legal in Washington, D.C., and I hate to say it, but that's where I get it. Anyway, that's enough said about that. But it's going to be legalized here in South Carolina this year, this coming October, but it's going to be by prescription only. And recreational will be down the road, just like the last caller.
Mm-hmm.
11 states, George, have legal recreational marijuana, including the District of Columbia.
Exactly. Illinois being the last state, the most recent state to do that. We're going to come back in just a moment with our special guest, Daniel Lewis Crumpton, as we talk about cannabis and Noah's Ark. Yep, two different titles. Now, here's that toll-free number to call for the CannaSense group, the Wellness Foundation, 1-833-633-4208. 1-833-633-4208. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to talk about this ever-changing planet and why the climate is changing and what's happening. And then later on in the show, Mitch Horowitz joins us to talk about moving Halloween to the last Saturday of the month. Yep, and then we're going to talk about the occult with Mitch on Coast to Coast. Welcome back to Coast, Daniel Lewis Crumpton with us as we talk about Then Came the Flood. Where do people get that book, Daniel?
Oh, you can pick it up from Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, BooksAMillion.com. You can go to my personal website, DownloadedContent.com, and there's a option there on the sidebar where you can pick the book up.
And, of course, he's got another hat, and that's the cannabis hat, and it's growing. It's getting bigger and bigger. You can feel that, Daniel, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that right now we are ripe for the acceptance of this plant being decriminalized. I mean, it's happening across the nation. And I think that it's because we need it, you know, collectively we need it. Like we were talking about earlier, you know, we haven't had time to heal since 9/11. And we are re-triggered every year about that. We don't even really discuss the troops overseas anymore. You know, I come from the Ron Paul, you know, Liberty Movement. So to me, it's just weird that, you know, we're still over there, you know, since 9/11. And
I think anything this planet grows should be legal.
I think so, too.
Anything.
I mean, how can you criminalize nature? It doesn't make any sense. So, you know, to me, this is this comes down to your individual rights as an American. And, you know, the Cannabis Collective and how it makes medicine available to people in all 50 states, it speaks to something that we really need to get back to, which is we really don't have to ask for permission to be free anymore. You know, I think we've lost that. We've been conditioned to ask for licenses and ask for permission to do this or that, when all we really need to do is pick up our 10 amendments and go, I got it right, you know. And being well, recovering from ailments or getting yourself okay, that to me speaks of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Well, you know why marijuana was declared illegal, and it happened back in the 1900s. First state, I think, was California. Is Big Pharma felt that they were threatened by it.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, and you had the DuPonts involved with Anslinger. I mean, marijuana is a, to me, I stray away from that term. I like the word cannabis. I mean, marijuana is kind of,
it's got a connotation, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's got a racist connotation to me, you know. It was criminalized and put on the schedule by special interests. And, you know, what I always like to point out to people is this. I mean, people debate whether or not cannabis is on the schedule. And they say, well, the DEA has it on Schedule 1 because, you know, there are three prongs to being on a Schedule 1. One of them is it has no known medical uses. So does cannabis actually fit on the Schedule 1? Well, I mean, you have the NIH.gov, which is a government entity, and I think April of 2017.
Institute of Health.
Yeah, they released a study where they said it does have medical known medical uses.
Oh, there's no question about it.
Yeah, so you have one leg of the government octopus saying it has known medical uses, and then you have another leg or octopus arm of the DEA saying it's on the Schedule 1. Well, no, this is like a footstool. If the NIH has said that there are known medical uses, it does not qualify as a Schedule 1 substance by default. So we're all waiting for decriminalization, but in all actuality, the federal government already decriminalized it.
Let's go back to the phones. First-time caller Kevin in Pennsylvania. Hi, Kev.
Hey, how you doing? I talked to you before, George.
Yes. Yes, we have.
It's been a year or so ago, but has anyone, I got a couple things. I want to talk about Noah's Ark first. You might as well say planet Earth is a Noah's Ark. I mean, we're all living here, but to answer your question, and the guy on Noah's Ark, it was over 500 feet long, 70 feet high. That's seven arcs on top of each other. And to answer your question about the Noah's Ark, all everything fit in there because there are babies and eggs and they're spiritual.
Yeah, it's the spiritual part of it that I think might be exactly how they were able to get a lot of that. And also, it may have been scientific. You might have had DNA available to save and preserve. That's also past. What do you think of that concept, Daniel?
In my personal imagination, George.
Yes.
I tend to agree with the caller that it was eggs and babies.
Okay.
For some reason or another, the idea of just it being DNA code doesn't sit well with me.
Interesting. Jimmy in Asheville, North Carolina. Hi, Jimmy. Good morning to you.
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Hey, Jimmy. Good.
I got a two-part thing. Could God made the flood come and kill all the giants in that way to save Noah for the seed, for the Messiah to be able to come through Noah, because he's found to be a righteous man.
Some believe that God indeed brought the flood to kill the giants. That's absolutely true.
Sir, and I got an old Hebrew Bible, and it says in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst open, and the floodgates of the sky burst open. So could he made a tsunami happen in the ocean, create the floods come up, also the rain to come down?
Yep, and an asteroid could have created the tsunami, and that's very possible, Daniel, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, whenever you look in the Old Testament, it talks about the great waters of the deep and above. So when we were talking about the water canopy earlier, you have those waters, and then you have the waters in the deep. And the Old Testament goes into pretty good detail about how it was kind of chambered off, and you know, there was no rain before the flood. So whenever I was doing research for the book, that was something that was prevalent. It was the waters of above and the waters beneath in the core.
And back to cannabis for a second. Why do you think that society is now much more willing to accept this? What's happening? What's happening in the culture to allow this to happen, in your opinion?
I think if you look back at the last time there was a surge of cannabis acceptance, it was in the 70s, 69, 70, you know, and it was when people were becoming more spiritually attuned. And I think that's happening now. I think that we as a species are going through an evolution. You know, I don't think that the Mayan calendar or the I Ching and all these other prophecies about 2012 were completely dismissible. I think they mean something, and I think that we are changing. And so a part of that changing is fixing stuff. And, you know, the human species for the past century or so has been through some stuff. And I think we're reaching our way out of it, you know. And I think that the cannabis plant, along with other plants, is something that's there that is opening its arms to us to embrace for getting out of what we've been in.
Interesting. Let's go to St. Louis. Mike's there. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
Hi.
Hey, Mike.
I just wanted to talk about the flood also.
Okay.
Now, on the way I understand it, a worldwide flood would have killed everything. There would have been nothing left alive. And according to popular science and evolutionists, we would have had to wait like 4.6 billion years again for life. You know, unless somebody had the foresight to build a boat. Didn't
right.
Daniel say something where he didn't believe in Noah's Ark?
Oh, no. He believes in Noah's Ark. But I'll let you elaborate on that, Daniel.
I believe if we were to find evidence of Noah's Ark, that would be fantastic. I believe that there was an event. Do I believe that it's exactly as the book of Genesis records? No. But I do believe there was an event, and the character of Noah is based off of somebody.
What part of Genesis don't you accept, Daniel?
I accept all of Genesis. I just don't accept it literally. I think it's all allegory. I think, you know, when I look at the teachings of the Christ in the New Testament, he says that the law and the prophets are an allegory for you, for your learning, that you can take it literally. And from what I have seen, taking it literally has ultimately led to a lot of bloodshed.
Let's go to Brigantine, New Jersey. Al's with us. Welcome to the show. Hi, Al.
Hi, guys. How are you? Thank you.
Wonderful.
For taking my call.
Thank you.
My question is, I have glaucoma, and I'm slowly losing my eyesight. Now, I'm at the stage right now where it feels like I'm in a smoke-filled room. And that's, you know, I see peripherally, I see straight on, but the, you know, the smoke-filled room is really hindering me. Can you tell me what effect or what type of statistics that you've come across for patients with glaucoma?
Cannabis drops in the eyes have been very helpful to, you know, keep the lid on glaucoma. What do you have, Daniel, in your research?
Yeah, caller, if you would, go to CannaSense.com. And what I want you to go to do is go under the education page.
I'll spell that out for you in a second, Al. Go ahead, Daniel.
Under education, there's a list there of all the conditions, including glaucoma, that cannabis treats. And Neil Schloss, who is the brainchild of CannaSense, he has hyperlinked all of these disorders with websites for you to review and see how cannabis can help you with glaucoma.
And that's it's CannaSense, CannaSense, CannaSense.com. We've got that linked up, Al, at coasttocoastam.com. And should he also use the toll-free number, Daniel?
Yeah, I would, you know, during normal business hours, call 1-833-633-4208 and ask for a caregiver, and they'll walk you through the process.
Is that number on the website, the CannaSense.com website?
Yes, it is. It should
okay.
be.
Okay, all right, good. Yeah, good luck with you. And, you know, I'm told that it has relieved symptoms of glaucoma. We're not talking cures here, but it has relieved symptoms, and maybe that's something you need right now, especially if you can nip it earlier than later, to be sure. Let's go next to Doug in Seattle, Washington. Welcome to the show. Hi, Douglas.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, I kind of had a question. It probably more applies to your previous guy that you had on. Are you there?
Yeah.
And it had something to do with the origin of Earth. And I don't know. I just kind of had my own theory to where, like, maybe you had all these asteroids or meteors hitting the Earth. And this might sound corny, but it's like a bee gives pollen to a flower.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the impact left something to where life originated.
Not corny at all, Doug. Not corny at all. It's very possible that life got seeded here from asteroids, from comets, from meteorites, and maybe that's how it happens all over the universe. It's very possible, Daniel.
You know, I'm a huge Star Trek fan. And all I know is Star Trek back in the 70s predicted the 21st century. And it's interesting what they're doing with Star Trek now in regards to this subject matter. That, yeah, panspermia is probably viable, you know.
I think it's very possible yeah. that that's how things get seeded all over the universe. Life from one goes to the next, goes to the next. I mean, how we develop from little bacteria and organisms, that's a marvel all by itself, and that's, you know, probably 22 other shows.
Yeah, and it's funny, George, how some people get antsy about the spirituality of it or the semantics of it, but it's like any way that you actually perceive life and consciousness and humanity is a miracle. Any way that you perceive it.
The Catholic Church is accepting extraterrestrial life. I mean, who would have thought that 20 years ago?
Yeah, right. I mean, look, the Bible is the most extraterrestrial document that we have, you know, in all of its peripherals.
And if you look at fallen angels as ETs, it's right there for you.
It's right there. I mean, it's, you know, whenever you go to a Baptist church on Sundays when they talk about angels, I mean, you could just put the word alien right there.
You got that right. Daniel, thank you for being on the program. Keep in touch with us. You're a first-time guest. Did a great job for us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, George. Thanks for having me, man. This has been a roundabout for me. I appreciate you.
Daniel Lewis Crompton, and that toll-free number, folks, for you is 1-833-633-4208. And the websites are all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudisor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.